Jhené and Gola Jr., the podcast.
Certified freaks.
Hey.
Most days a week. At this point, we don't know anymore.
I love this. This is why I really appreciate you. You always give me presents.
Listen, we give and we give around here. That's what we do. That's the Jhené and Gola Jr. way. Shout out to Jerry, the absolute chef in the kitchen, whipping that one up. It might be the one that gets us fired, but we only got an hour with you guys anyway today, so we're going to try and blaze through to the finish line on this. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And Jhené, if that wasn't enough, we've had huge news out of the NBA today as well. We'll get to what's going on with the Houston Rockets and some moves in their front office, but Ty Lue fully agreed upon deal to become the next head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers.
I know this is shocking because a lot of people, like, we were seeing his name tied to a lot of different teams, but this makes sense, and I'm looking forward to telling you why a little bit later. But more importantly, I did watch The Bachelorette last night, so we'll get that update on that as well.
See, all right, we've got plenty to get to here, but before we get to Jhené's takes on The Bachelorette and on this hiring, we're going to go to the man who broke the news now, our own ESPN senior NBA insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, joins us now on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line with the Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Woj, thank you for making the time, and we saw you tweeting about this a while ago. The deal has been fully agreed upon now, sources have told ESPN. So just give us a sense in how quickly this all came together as the Clippers coaching search now found its man.
Hey, guys. Good to be with you, as always. Listen, Ty Lue has been really the front runner from the start. He was most prominent in the Clippers' plans when they started this search upon the decision to let Doc Rivers go. But Steve Ballmer and management wanted to do a coaching search. They wanted to go out and talk to candidates. They knew what they had in Ty Lue. You know, they certainly talked with him more extensively during this process and came back to him. And I think there was an expectation that they would. Ty Lue was out, as you mentioned. You know, he had interviewed with the Rockets and had talked to the Pelicans and certainly was a candidate elsewhere. But I think for Ty Lue, the Clippers were his first choice. He understands that that's a roster and an organization right now that has, the ability to win the championship. It obviously underachieved last season. And, you know, I think for both sides, they went out, they talked to others, and I think the Clippers ultimately got ahead of a possible offer from the Rockets. But I think for Ty Lue, this is a team in LA, I think, that has the runway to compete. You know, if they're able to re-sign Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and I think next year, they've got the runway to be, you know, very competitive at a high level in the Western Conference for years to come.
Here with our ESPN NBA senior insider, Adrian Wojnarowski, on Jhené and Gola Jr. Now, Woj, you mentioned the details of the deal, you know, 5-year deal to be the new head coach of the Clippers, Ty Lue, that is. And you also stated in your piece on .com that everyone should check out that he had a significant support, you know, amongst key Clippers players. How much was that a role as well?
Listen, it's always a role in this league. You know, you have to have buy-in from your star players. You got to have buy-in up and down the roster, but I think the respect that Ty Lue earned with that group last year coming in on the staff, and listen, there were other teams. I think in Houston there were players who were big Ty Lue advocates, but certainly that was a part of it. I think that especially when players are headed into free agency. And other key guys on the roster, they were all very supportive of the idea of Ty Lue. But management was too, Lawrence Frank, Michael Winger, and, you know, Steve Ballmer. But I think for them, it was a chance to go out, talk to some others. They talked to a lot of candidates, assistant coaches, former head coaches, and, you know, Jeff Van Gundy's been a serious consideration there. He's in Houston again today, talking with that organization. He was in there yesterday. And so they certainly went out and talked to some high-quality candidates. And listen, this is a team in L.A. that there's a lot of pressure to win, but there's also a belief that, you know, this isn't a one-year deal. It's a 5-year deal and a belief, like, they don't want to be just changing coaches. Doc Rivers was there for 7 years. I think they believe that Ty Lue, at 43 years old, with the experience he had in Cleveland, with the understanding he got last year with the Clippers, seeing what some of the potential problem areas are, things that have to be addressed, changes that will perhaps be made in the air in the roster. You know, he certainly comes in with a intimate understanding of the situation, you know, more so than certainly somebody from the outside might have, and I think they're hoping that's going to be an advantage for him as he starts on the job.
Adrian Wojnarowski with us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Woj, before we let you go, it seems like days ago already now, but just a few hours before that, Houston Rockets general manager Daryl Morey stepped down, as you alluded to there. They promoted executive VP of basketball operations Raphael Stone to GM. Just as we go forward now, because their coaching search is still underway, philosophically for this front office, is going to be largely the same as what we saw under Daryl Morey since they chose to stay in-house?
Well, I think there could be some differences. Listen, Daryl made a tremendous impact on the league in his 13 years, from the area of analytics to three-point shooting to how they did deals. They were constantly in the marketplace making trades. I think he made 77 trades, I think was the number we had. And obviously a lot of big deals with James Harden, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul. Dwight Howard was a big signing when they made that. So it is certainly the end of an era with Daryl Morey stepping down. But I think their coaching search, Jeff Van Gundy, again, was in yesterday. He's back in today. The Fertittas, Tillman Fertitta, their owner, has a relationship, and his son Patrick, who's part of the organization, they have a relationship with Jeff. They know him. And I think John Lucas, Steven Silas, an assistant in Dallas, Wes Unseld in Denver are all still candidates there. But it'll be a different organization without Daryl. He was, there was a way in which he ran it. There was a way in which they did business. And over his 13 years there, the second winningest organization in the regular season, only to the Spurs.
At Woj ESPN's, where you get all the great info. You can also check out the Woj Pod wherever you get your podcast. Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, we appreciate the time as
Thanks,
always.
Woj. Thanks, Woj.
Always, guys. Talk to you soon.
Chenay and Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Quoting home insurance just got easier with Progressive's Home Quote Explorer. Quote and buy all online at progressive.com. So, Chenay, we know how this happened, but in your mind, is this the right move? Is this the right why attached to this for Ty Lue now taking over for the Los Angeles Clippers?
So the point that I'd like to make with Ty Lue is a lot of people are, one thing Woj alluded to was that he has both the respect, but also the internal machinations of what's happening with the Clippers. So that was like the perfect little storm for him to take his position. But the reason why I think this is actually sneaky good is because, you know, he's agreed. And when you think about what he was able to do with the Cavaliers, he stepped into a situation with two very big personalities, LeBron James, Kyrie Irving. After a season in which there was a little disappointment, there was tumultuous nature when it came to a coaching change with David Blatt. And what was he able to do? Go up against the Warriors and get these guys with big personalities to work together and perform on the biggest stage. Now I think it's going to be interesting because he's going to have the same task. He has two guys with different personalities, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard. But most importantly, what I love about this is that Ty Lue knows how LeBron James' brain works better than probably most people in the league. Now you're handing that playbook to Kawhi Leonard, who is probably the most equipped to guard LeBron. So now, to me, I think that's the double whammy that makes this really intriguing.
Yeah, it really is interesting to think about that way, what Ty Lue has already displayed an ability, because Chenna, you know this, there's a difference in, regardless of sport, being an assistant and the way that you're able to deal with and talk to players. The relationship's a little bit different than having to be the head coach and delegate in some of the ways that they do, and Ty Lue already navigated that. Now, in the David Blatt situation, we remember there was clearly a bit of discomfort around the amount of respect David Blatt automatically thought he was owed coming into that locker room, having been successful overseas, versus a guy in Doc Rivers, who we know that respect wasn't ever going to be the question, but maybe a difference in voice. But I think the LeBron angle is something really interesting that we can sink our teeth into going forward, because that's the only goal, right? Like, if you're Steve Ballmer, that's the thing keeping you up at night, is the party that's going on across town.
if you're trying to win a championship in the NBA, a lot of people are sleeping on the fact that the Warriors will be back next year. But still, that formidable duo of LeBron James and Anthony Davis looks like they're poised to try to meet that mountaintop again. But who's going to guard LeBron? Probably the best person on the planet, or the best duo that can do it, is right there in his same city, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. And now you have the coach that knows LeBron probably a little bit better than any other coaches around the league as well. And so you couple that together, I think that's where the sweet spot is for this Clippers hire.
And they're hoping that's the case, and they're hoping it happens soon, because the clock is ticking with a couple of those superstars on the results they need to see. But coming up next, speaking of the clock ticking, we'll go into how one tweet may have changed the course of an entire league season and why everyone's not cut out to beat the bad guy. That's next. It's Chanae Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line, like our favorite, Adrian Wojnarowski. We appreciate him stopping by, our ESPN NBA insider. Chanae, I will never forget walking down into the ESPN cafeteria and seeing a sight that very few people ever get to see in their entire lives. Adrian Wojnarowski and Adam Schefter — this is pre-pandemic when people could be around each other — Adrian Wojnarowski and Adam Schefter having lunch at the ESPN caf, and no one had their phone on the table.
Yeah, that's rare, because anytime you have a conversation with either one of them, it's funny because, like, you always get mad when someone, you know, brings their phone out and it interrupts a conversation. When it's them, it's like, no, please do your job. Yeah. Do your work.
Do whatever you've got to do. Trust me, I'm not going to step in. Like, I need to know what information you've got. So when their phones were off the table, I was like, how am I supposed to find out what's going on? You guys do all this.
I always just ask Woj. I'm like, Woj, can I just know before? Like 2 seconds, 2 minutes? And that's how we were desk mates when, you know, things were back to normal.
Oh, okay. That is a great desk to have
there. Oh, man, I love that. I just stick my head up like, really? Really?
You know what? Coming up in about 10 minutes, I will take you to the most stressed out desk in all of America right now as we get to the biggest college football game in the young season so far that had an plot twist no one could have predicted, even though this year everyone could have probably predicted it. But, Chanae, we did talk with Woj certainly about Ty Lue signing the 5-year deal, confirmed with the Los Angeles Clippers now to become their next head coach. But we also mentioned the news earlier today, Daryl Morey stepping down as the Houston Rockets GM. Now, Chanae, for you who have, you know, lived inside the sport of basketball much more than the rest of us, what are you going to remember the Daryl Morey era in Houston most for?
I think for being bold. And, you know, we have this saying in Texas, everything's bigger and better in Texas. And I think when it comes to the analytics movement, no one was bigger and for, you know, some degree better at it than the Rockets, in the sense of finding ways to compete against the big dogs, the Warriors and now the Lakers, by swinging big, no pun intended, because we'll get to that soon, you know, with analytics. And I do think that you can't ignore the impact of Daryl Morey's tweet, which really skyrocketed the Rockets and the NBA in totality into the international, political discourse that had a lot of implications for the season. But when you look at what he's in, and that's a good reminder for everyone to know that we are more than what we just tweet. Like, we are representing brands. I know this, me personally. Like, when I tweet, I know I'm representing the LA Sparks, ESPN. Like, and even though you don't recognize the power you have, he still is in a position of power that people look to in that moment. And I think that's a tough one, you know, because it's tied to this conversation. But when we look at what he actually did when it came to basketball, and also when I look in my backyard, we were bold. We tried to compete. We leaned into maybe more threes than twos. And that allowed us to not only, and I say us, that allowed the Rockets to step into a stage where we felt like they could be one of the best teams in the bubble. They could compete with the Lakers. They could compete with the Warriors, instead of the process, right? Where you're building through the draft or making people comfortable with, like, the idea of losing potentially to build later. Like, no, they swung big each year. And for that, you have to be commended, because they used the playbook of analytics to do so. And that was largely under Daryl Morey.
It is true. But, Chanae, you mentioned the tweet. Like, that's a lot of what this season was really defined by, what a lot of the last couple of years were defined by in so many ways because of the ripple effects, the change in the NBA's relationship with China after that, and all of the fallout that the NBA took a lot of criticism on. Their response, star players like LeBron James were even largely criticized for their response in this instance. So looking at Daryl Morey, I mean, we saw the figures on .com. I believe the Adam Silver and the NBA estimate they lost somewhere around $400 million over the course of this year because of what happened. And it's not to say it's all because of one tweet, but I think what that tweet started, a real microscope on the relationship between the NBA, China, and the things that were going into that, it's I'd say it's an incalculable loss, but I just gave you the math behind it. And so that's something that the NBA is, I think, still going to have to reckon with going forward in some ways.
Yeah, absolutely. That tweet had huge implications, even though he probably wasn't aware of the magnitude of his position and what that tweet would mean to the league. And so I feel like it's hard to completely fault him when he probably didn't intend for the NBA to lose all this money and to have this become a dialogue, not just amongst us, but also politically, internationally. But I think overall, when it comes to Daryl Morey, you see what he's done with the game. I think with the Rockets, they've moved towards, okay, we've leaned all the way in to analytics. And also, what's a consequence of this? We're losing our head coach, Mike D'Antoni. We're looking for some more balance. And I guess now that meant starting fresh at the GM as well.
Chinay Ngola Jr. reminding you the road to the World Series goes through ESPN Radio. Catch all the postseason action presented by AutoZone on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coverage of Astros Rays Game 5 comes up right after us. That game, Game 5 of the ALCS, going to be going on in just a little bit here, Chinay. And we talked about this, another Houston area problem in this situation about the Astros, their villainy this year, and how it affected so many people. And we finally saw those bats break out last night. A big one for Jose Altuve, who seemed to be wearing this very personally. I heard from Tim Kirkshen the other day on the Levitard show. He's a guy that's used to being very well-liked. And so going through the course of this year, we saw this villain tour play out with LeBron James. Not everybody's cut out for that life.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't know what that's like. I felt it a little bit when I not demanded, but politely asked for a trade out. But, you know, a lot of people were wondering about Jose Altuve and why, like, he was playing this way and the numbers and the stats. Like, he did not commit a throwing error during the regular season. And in 47 career playoff games before this season, he committed just one throwing error. And then he had four throwing errors in this postseason and three in the series, which had only been three games. So everyone's like, what is going on? But now also hearing, you know, just the good things from Dusty Baker, the manager, saying that, hey, I, you know, helped move him third in the lineup, and that's also in honor of Joe Morgan, who just passed away. It was like a feel good. Like, I know a lot of people are critical of the Astros, but for Altuve, you want to see a smaller guy still succeed, even though I know there's a lot of infrastructural questions.
Hey, you know, but that's what Tim Kirkshen said. He's used to being a lovable little guy. And while that certainly won't be the case for the Astros, at the very least, it could be part of the spark that gets them back in this. Plenty more on that. Plus, stick with me here on this. Blimp Coach. We'll tell you who next.
Janae and Golick Jr., the podcast.
Anyway.
That's my favorite Wonderwall. Connecticut, by the way. The multicolor foliage in that visual.
We are right now, Chinay Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive's Home Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today in peak Connecticut. We don't have a very long window. Like, Chinay, you know how some cities, they're built to thrive in certain times of year? Like, Chicago might be the greatest city in the world when you get it that 3 months of summer. It's a blast.
Oh, I thought you were going to go winter. I was like, is this what?
No. Oh, God. Oh, no.
Yes,
no.
Summer.
But Connecticut might be one of the better cities in the Northeast for like a period of 3 weeks.
Absolutely.
We got that on lock.
Yes, it's the colors and everything. And then once they start falling, that's when you have to take over.
I realize I just said Connecticut's a city, by the way, too. It's a state. Although, you guys are going to get to me in one of my oldest takes. I think that Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, New Hampshire, Vermont, none of them should actually be states. It should be New England. We should be one large New England, and all of the states should just be cities. Devin, I see you nodding in agreement. Tell me I'm lying.
The Commonwealth.
There we go. The Commonwealth.
I co-sign this. I actually appreciate that.
I appreciate everyone that's got pride in where they're from. I am not necessarily one of those people. Like, Connecticut's fine. We had a good response to COVID-19. I was proud of that much, but
you don't have as many sports teams, too, so it makes sense.
Exactly. Then the new, like, people
Celtics,
got all up in
Patriots.
Arms. They thought the New England Patriots were going to move to Hartford a couple years ago, and I laughed in everybody's faces as they seriously entertained this. It could be the New England Patriots, and then we'd all feel a part of it. Right, Debbie?
Right. And while we're at it, let's just get rid of the Eastern time zone.
Get rid of the, let's get rid of time zones altogether. They do
why,
nothing but
how do you take that, man?
And daylight savings time.
We're in the Northeast. Is that what we're doing right now?
Honestly, it is the harshest time zone. I'm not going to lie, because things got better on this side. No offense. I'll still come out there. I was there for 5 years, but yeah.
I appreciate it. In no rush to come back. Shanae and Golic Jr.
come
reminding
join
you.
Me.
Come and take with us. If you think you can help us fix the Northeast, be a part of Shanae and Golic Jr. Nation on Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. ESPN Nation is presented by Dr. Pepper. It's official.
Oh.
College football's back, and so is your favorite Dr. Pepper-loving college football town, Fansville. Head to a store near you to treat your inner college football fan to an ice-cold 20-ounce Dr. Pepper today.
I've got a hot take.
Oh, boy.
You want to? This might get me kicked out of the Northeast. Add more Starbucks. I'm not a big fan of Dunkin'. Oh, but I drink it and I don't mind it.
About to say, we love everybody equally.
We love them.
All of them.
We love them all. We do.
Spend money with us. Anyway, you know what? You're only going to get pushback on that really in one state, and it's Massachusetts. But I digress. As we talk about college football on this, Chiney, we got big news out of the state of Georgia. The Atlanta Falcons have shut down their practice facility this morning. There was one positive COVID test from someone on the staff there. It was not a player. All of this reported earlier today by our own Adam Schefter. So the NFL continuing to kind of work through this process at the beginning of how to go about this. And we've seen the league having to move around a lot of games. This is really old news at this point in college football, which is sad to say as someone covers it, but it got a big reminder of how serious this gets when we found out that Nick Saban yesterday at the end of our show, Alabama's head football coach, tested positive for COVID-19. He is asymptomatic and doing well. But Chiney, imagine if you were on a team, you're going into the biggest game of your year. Alabama, Georgia's the biggest game of the football season so far, and now your head coach isn't going to be there.
Yeah, that's tough. That's really tough.
But I mean, as a player, how are you responding in that situation, right? Like, that's something very few of us have ever really had to consider as often as we do now. We know things can happen at any time, but this year, this is almost an outcome you have to practice for.
Oh, absolutely. And that's where you get the advantage of, hey, we have to practice those bizarre scenarios, because in this season, you might be without your top player or you might be without your coach. But also, I'm just wondering, okay, we understand that this is a possibility, and I think other coaches learn from other coaches. It's almost like in the NBA when you had that challenge. Oh, we can do a refs challenge, and we did it in the first quarter, and we're like, oh, save yours till the fourth. You know, watching something happen to another person, one of your peers, your contemporaries, that's what sort of prepares you. Like, oh, next week we need to, make sure we prepare for this circumstance. But we're in this week, and now I'm trying to understand the parameters in which, what can Coach Saban do? You know, how can he practice and still be involved if he's not able to be around the actual practice? How can he still be involved in helping lead them to victory potentially, even though he's not allowed? And you said, you can't do anything Zoom or live from, from removed from the situation. So that is another added difficulty. And I guess that's where you have to trust your team, trust your other coaches, and also your players, knowing that, hey, we have a couple days in advance. Well, not that many.
Yeah.
Not much time in advance, but at least you still have some time to prepare for this situation.
And Shanae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. I'll say this. Most college football teams and most teams in general outside of bubble environments have had practice built in of, all right, what happens? Kind of like we would do on Fridays, Shanae, going into a college football weekend, we would always do something called spot drill, where we would go through the different special teams units and the coach would call out, so-and-so goes down, who subs in, to get everybody cued into who the next man up in that situation is. Now you've got to do that with chain of command in practice.
Yes.
But really, chain of command in game is going to be the one that's up for grabs, because this was Nick Saban talking about the way things will proceed for the rest of this week at least.
So we're still doing everything possible to get ready for the Georgia game. I'll have normal meetings tomorrow. Everything will be on Zoom. We'll continue to do this. You know, Sark's kind of filling in my absence for anything that needs coordinated in the office. But we're going to do everything we can to help our team, get ready to play.
Sark being Steve Sarkisian, their offensive coordinator, a guy who obviously has some head coaching experience of his own along the way, which is certainly an advantage for them, Chiney. But I think the biggest difficulty is this. Usually when a star player goes down, and a coach, especially in college, can be sort of the same thing, the production you lose there is one thing. I've heard a lot of people say, Nick Saban, what he brings to the sideline, being able to look players in the eyes, all these things. For me, it's it puts more stress on people that are less capable of handing it. Meaning all the assistants, all of the position coaches, who now everyone's got to do a little bit more, go a little bit more outside of their comfort zone, which is one thing if you're playing an FCS school or one of the cupcakes that's usually on an early SEC season. This is Georgia, a team who looks to be playing some of the best football in years for them. And so I think that becomes the real cumulative effect here, Chiney, is you force everyone else out of position a little bit. Nick Saban's built to handle a lot. Not every other coach is in that way.
But that's really interesting, because we're talking the Alabama point of view. But what about the Georgia point of view? Knowing that Saban's not on the other side, most likely, even though he's trying to prepare them as if he were, what do you do differently now to sort of catch them off guard?
Well, I think that's just it, is I don't know if you have to do much differently. This was already a game, and I think by S&P Plus, which shout out to Bill Conley, who does a great job running the numbers for us here at ESPN, according to one of their metrics, this is the matchup of Alabama, the best offense in college football, against Georgia, the best defense in college football. So if you're Georgia, you're coming in and saying, we don't need to do anything different because we believe we're good enough. This is one of those games where any small weakness on one side just means you're more prone to getting railroaded on the other side. And Alabama's defense is coming off a performance against Ole Miss less than inspiring. And for Nick Saban, who's a defensive-minded head coach, one who I have a feeling wants to get that bad taste out of his mouth, it's more like having to break serve in this scenario, Chiney. Georgia doesn't have to change any of what they're going to do. They just have to say, all right, there's a better chance of Alabama breaking serve now without Nick Saban out there at the helm.
Yeah, that makes sense. But, you know, it's also interesting because the mindset of the athlete going into it, like maybe that gives Georgia a little bit more of an edge, like, oh, things are sort of, you know, because you need those type of mental checks to sort of like feel like you can compete at a higher level and you have the advantage. But, you know, when I think of this overall, this is just, I think it's a summation of this season. The unpredictability of it. We've been talking about a lot of the players and potentially top players, or even any player can get it, but we haven't really focused so much on the coaches. And now seeing that it's Saban, I think it's going to send the message of we have to stay on point with all the protocols. And now these coaches have an opportunity to figure out, all right, get their plan of succession in order.
Nick Saban talking about Alabama's plans for this week without him as coach speak, brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports. And Chiney, I'm with you. You're right, because Nick Saban has, by most accounts, been one of the more thoughtful, diligent coaches. And just in general, winning doesn't happen by accident with the kind of approach you have. Nick Saban, you haven't heard a lot of excuses about what goes on this season or complaints about the parameters they have to operate in to be safe from the virus. And they're testing often. He said they're testing basically every day there. And it still happens. So it is a reminder that this thing really doesn't discriminate. It doesn't care if you're good, bad, power five, group of five. It unfortunately has found a way to affect a lot of this college football season.
Yeah, and it's not just college football. It's the NFL, and also just seeing the different runways that sports deal with so that they can figure out what the competitive integrity is later on. You're dealing with postponements in one place and not in another, and you still have to adjust. And again, this is why championships will mean something different for each sport, especially with how they've handled bubble, no bubble in these scenarios.
It's immensely frustrating at times to see the response from the world of sports when it comes to this. But so far, and we'll wait and see, because as everyone's made the joke, if any coach is going to find their way to somehow be able to impact this game on game day, it's going to be
Saban.
And if not, pray for his family, who's got to have him home on an Alabama Crimson Tide game day, potentially.
I mean, if you can't do anything, just live stream. Can we watch you?
You know, college game day, if anyone's going to be able to work that, like, just let Tom Rinaldi sit in. Who can get mad at Tom Rinaldi?
Thank you.
If he's in the room with you watching that game. So I feel like if nothing else, we need to get to that. So we'll try and get up to speed on what Nick Saban's game day habits are going to be if he is not able to do that. And obviously, we wish him a speedy recovery.
Absolutely.
Again, we heard he's asymptomatic, doing well right now in quarantine. So that's the best news of all of this. But coming up next, let's stick in the world of football. I'll give you one quarterback with abs, one quarterback without abs. And I promise you, the with is going to be more shocking than anything. We'll get to that. It's Chiney and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chiney and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Lightning round of Chiney and Golic Jr. concludes here on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. Plenty of Major League Baseball action for everyone to sink their teeth into. ALCS, NLCS, all chugging along. Dodgers, Astros, both trying to make comebacks in that series. And we're just marching steadily closer to the weekend, Chinee. We're going to get there, and I want to get to something very important that I need from you. Chinee and Golic Jr. is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who save with Progressive save over $750 on average. I made a mistake. There's a lot of staving going on tonight in Major League Baseball. But first, I need answers. I need energy. Cliff, we want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Janae and Golic Jr.
Before we get to thick quarterbacks.
Ooh.
Slim quarterbacks, all kinds of quarterbacks. Janae, I need a full scouting report from you here. You finally dove down. You broke down. You watched The Bachelorette last night. What did you think?
So I am so mad at myself, but so pleased with myself as well. I watched the whole episode, and within the first 2 seconds, I was like, forget her. I found my husband when he stepped out of the limo. Dale's like, I was sitting down on set straight up. I was like, who is that? So I totally understand what Claire is going through. Love the episode. I get the hype. I get the hype.
It's not hype because it's real. That's all I'll say. Dale, obviously the front runner. And Chinee, let me tell you, you've stepped in at the right time because we are about 2 episodes away from the most shocking twist in Bachelorette history. I can't wait. They continue to hook me in with these promos. But
I'm trying to think of what else. The other dude was doing too much.
Oh,
Tyler.
Listen,
was it Tyler?
There's always a type, Chinee. There's a villain. Tyler's the short villain who's going to end up on a two-on-one date later on as things go here. There's a guy that's always going to go snitch to the Bachelorette. We've got types all over the place in
this
situation.
But the person I was very relieved that got a rose was the guy in the straitjacket, because I was very concerned. He was sitting there in the straitjacket the whole time. I was like, aw, like, I hope he gets it.
And he's going to be in a straitjacket to start the next episode. He's going to last 2 more episodes, and then they're going to use him in a post-credit scene. Book it! I do the research so you don't have to. Chinee, how about this one, though, as a little bit of a quirk? So Le'Veon Bell, we know, released by the Jets earlier this week, and now reportedly down to 3 teams for his services going forward: the Miami Dolphins, the Kansas City Chiefs, and the Buffalo Bills. Chinee, what if I told you that those 3 teams are the exact next 3 teams that the New York Jets are getting ready to play?
Oh, no way.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so is this like revenge tour?
You know what? I don't know if it's accidental. I don't know if it's just one of those look what God did moments. But at the Dolphins this weekend, home versus Buffalo next weekend, and on the road, November 1st in Arrowhead.
Who do you like?
Listen, Kansas City's the easy answer for everything because they're in the Patriot mode where if you just strap someone else to the side of them, they're going to look good because they're on the good team in the situation. But I think we talked to Aaron Schatz the other day about, outside of Josh Allen, some of the struggles of the Buffalo offense and defense. And I think if you can inject Devin Singletary, you know, Singletary's a great running back, but I think if you could add someone of Le'Veon's skill set in and around that offense, continue to add weapons for Josh Allen, that would probably be the biggest bang for your buck. But I can't wait to see him as a Chief.
And like, that flight isn't that bad.
No, it is true. Get to stay right near home. And for a lot of Buffalo Bills fans, they will point out he would actually get to play for the New York football team, considering both the Giants and the Jets play in New Jersey. Believe me, it's a thing. Chinee, did you see this? We have talked a lot. Now, I don't know how else to address this. My dad grew a beard over quarantine, and people started thirsting after him pretty hard.
Zaddy.
And it got weird.
Zaddy.
What
Big
if I,
Zaddy energy.
What if I told you that Peyton Manning was now a Zaddy? Did you see these pictures from him at the beach?
Show
Peyton
me them,
Manning,
please. I'll tell you if it's Zaddy.
Pack.
Oh, that's Zaddy.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I can't. Yep. It's quick. It's natural. I just go with the eye test. Zaddy. Yep.
The Zaddy meter is very quick. Well, he's got like, listen, he's got the lines in all the right places. I can't hate on this. And I just, you know what? I feel bad for Eli, right? Like, Eli retires. He's doing funny stuff on Twitter. He's marketable now. And he goes out. But you know what? Relatable bodies more in than they've ever been, Chinee. And I feel like now Eli finally gets his time to shine.
Your tweet, more like Omaha. Am I right? Yeah, I can't even. Omaha
is right. I'm heating up in here right now. I'm sweating.
Omaha with a body.
All right. Now we gotta get to the goods now, though. Speaking of a body, Chinee, this is incredible news.
Or as I like to call a bodet. Continue.
I had a rotisserie chicken the other day, and I thought of our very own Chinee Gumake on this one. Someone who might enjoy that rotisserie chicken, Howard Brown, a 6'2", 275-pound quarterback defensive tackle. in high school. He's committed to play his college football at Iowa State. He's thrown for over 6,000 yards and 82 touchdowns in his high school career, Chiné. This man is big, beefy, and lethal.
Y'all, he's moving. He's got some wheels. He's got, first of all, like, yeah, no one's going to take him down.
Listen, Chiné, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. I feel like this is where my fantasy football team was supposed to come in. This is Cam Newton, right? This is actually what that name was born of. It was born to create. He's too good. He's too big. He's too fast, Chiné. He deserves some sort of nickname recognition, right?
I can't stand you, but yes, that is it. Yeah, I was going to say Childish Gambino.
Childish Gambino could work out in there. Pat Thick Mahomes. All of them work. All of them I love dearly. All of them are Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise.
I can't stand you.
Between this and chores in the house, it is going to be a wonder if we make it back here tomorrow. We'll see if the Astros can make it back tomorrow. Stave it off next.
Thanks for listening to Chiné and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.